You know, I'm not going to say that brackets have jumped the shark or anything. They're just fun. But we're doing pizza brackets. Then we're also doing the brackets with Chevy Drive Chicago, and that's fun. Everybody signs up for one bracket or another, it seems. Eric Zorn took all of the quips that he's seen online, the memes and funny tweets, and he's turned it into a quip madness. It's down to the round of 32 right now. Some of them are visual. It helps to look at. And then some of them just work, no matter how you consume it. Podcasts are like babies. They're too easy to create, and not everyone should have one. Versus, oh, wow, oh, geez, we didn't think everyone was going to bring a bag. Airlines. That's one you have to look at to see, but you can imagine that's the attitude that the airlines seem to be taking. They are so indifferent to fixing the problem with everybody getting on the plane, trying to stuff their bag in there, and they're like, oh, gee, we didn't, oh, you brought a bag too? Eric, these are pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good set of 32 tweets. I'm really happy with the bracket so far. Started off last week with a round of 64. I try to emulate the NCAA basketball tournaments and have it culminate right around the Final Four weekend, so people can enjoy their brackets. And bracket tournaments are fun. I enjoy the ones that you guys do at WGN. It's you know, you could put a whole bunch of them out there and say which one of these is the best, but it's kind of fun to watch them fight it out against one another, just like in basketball.
We did 128 pizza places, and then quickly winnowed it down to 64, 32. Now we're at the slice 16. 16 pizza places remain at WGNradio.com. So that's been – and by the way, our silly pizza brackets get tens of and hundreds of thousands of votes. People in Chicago every year vote on their favorite pizza places.
Which ones are advancing right now?
Every now and then, you know, the ones that do well – are the ones in the suburbs with a real good local following. And then they tell all of their customers and fans and people that love their pizza to vote. And then Aurelio's, Pequot's, Malnati's, you know, the big brands in Chicago do well too, because those are really good pizzas.
They are. Yeah, that's those are great names. We have a Malnati's near us. If I were voting, I'd vote for Malnati's.
The ones that have won the first 2 years of our pizza brackets are suburban ones, though. It's not one of those big monster ones in the area, and they have both been eliminated this year, though, in the early round. They got upset in the round of, I think, 32. So only two votes separated Connie's and Bartolini's, with Connie's advancing. Every vote counts. Two votes separated in one round, Connie's advanced. In the South and West, only South pizza places remain, with Giorgio's exiting in round three after facing Uncle Jerry's. Both of our past champions are now out. Aurelio's led all pizza places remaining, along with dominant performances by Uncle Jerry's and Carrie, Nick's and Crystal Lake, Pequot's and Vito and Nick's. You sorry you asked, Eric?
No, I'm not. I'm actually really interested. Do you seed these pizza places, or do you just list them and have the luck of the draw be which one is facing the other one?
Excellent question. Sorry you asked. I think it's a soft seeding. Like, they didn't put Pequot's up against Malnati's right away. So there was some filtering to make sure that the dominant ones did have a chance to advance. Right now, Pete just handed me this. Lou Malnati's leads Rosati's with 61% of the vote. Connie's leads Palermo with 53%. Pequot's has beaten Jimmy's with 80%. So, you know, the big known names. I would say that if, like, of course everybody loves Malnati's, but if you just said pick one that's a little off the chart that people are very allegiant to, it's Pequot's. Pequot's is that weird little one that people love. Do you know what I mean?
I do know. Yeah, I do know Pequot's. About 20 years ago, the Tribune had to go and do like the top 10 pizza parlors in Chicago or something like that. One of those clickbait stories.
Yes.
I remember eating at Pequot's. It's quite good. It's interesting when you try to see these things. I just take them and list them, and then I'm going to reseed my entire brackets after this current round by taking the ones that really won big and seeding them with high, and then taking the ones that just barely eked by and sitting them low, so that you don't have, people have already complained to me, like, hey, there, you have two kind of lame ones together, and you have two really great ones together. I mean, the two that you read at the top about the podcast, and the podcasts are like babies, and the other one about airlines going, oh, geez, oh, golly, we didn't know everyone was going to bring a bag. Those are both pretty good. And, one of them is going to be eliminated, unfortunately. But the seeding, these things, it's, of course, the stakes are quite low, so it's fine.
Right. By the way, Eric, I don't think we use the word lame anymore.
Oh, sorry.
Every now and then you'll say I've just canceled that. It's funny because I saw a piece that Elon Musk has brought the word retarded back into vogue.
Oh, no.
As a descriptor, and somebody counted how often he's used it in the last year. I think it was 10 times. But a single tweet from Elon Musk, it's populated millions of times around the globe. And so the R word seems to be back in fashion, at least with some people. Speaking of which, you said on your post, I have a very negative view, or at least to producer Pete, of vandalizing the Teslas that are out there. We just got done talking about it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but as you have written about it, what are you saying?
Well, I think that it's perfectly fair to picket a Tesla dealership and to discourage people from buying Teslas, to try to boycott Tesla. But a lot of people bought their Teslas well before Elon Musk's cloven hoof popped out. I mean, remember he hosted Saturday Night Live a couple of years ago. He was not considered to be a controversial political figure. And I like the idea of electric cars. I like the idea of what Tesla's trying to do with electric vehicles. I wouldn't have had a problem if I could have afforded it by buying a Tesla a few years ago. So vandalizing someone's car.
Imagine that. Eric Zorn driving a Tesla. So what would you do? So you got your Tesla parked over there on the northwest side. What are you doing with it if you own one right now?
I have it in a garage for sure. And I'm probably trying to sell it. I understand that it's very difficult for people now to sell their used Teslas because people are flipping them off and acting as though they, and spray painting them. There was a woman who was arrested out in the suburbs, I saw in the Sun-Times this morning or maybe it's the Daily Herald.
Buffalo Grove in the Sun-Times.
Yeah, vandalizing a Tesla dealership.
But yeah.
I don't support vandalizing anybody's vehicle for any reason or vandalizing a dealership. I think it's perfectly fine to call for a boycott. I have no urge to flip off a Tesla driver, although the people who are driving those Cybertrucks, those are darn ugly vehicles, and they were produced pretty recently. Most people who bought them had to know who Elon Musk was when they bought them. But even still, I'm prepared to give Tesla owners a pass right now. And I think that it's a slippery slope to go down if you're going to start vandalizing cars because you think of the politics of their owner. I mean, by that token, I guess we should all be vandalizing Fords because Henry Ford was anti-Semite.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Of course, Henry Ford is gone, and he wasn't influencing the government the way Elon Musk is now.
Yeah.
But I share your views about that. It seems to be maybe misguided. You don't know the politics of the person. And it's still, I think, the wrong way to have this discourse in this country. If you voted for somebody and I voted for somebody different, after the election, I don't think I have any right, if it's a fair election, to vandalize your house. And what's the point of screaming at you? I did notice in my neighborhood that somebody took down their Trump flag after the election. And I understand for the same reason, I guess, that a lot of lawn signs went down. But in the last couple of weeks, that flag has gone back up. And I wondered if that was because that person feels so defensive about the posture of the administration and all of its acolytes that now they're like, no, I'm still staying on the team. But it's a reminder, I guess, of how volatile things are right now. And when you signal, even though you don't deserve it, you might be asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, we've been forced into our corners in this country quite a bit. I was surprised to see in the new NBC News poll that Trump's job approval rating, just in a poll taken this month, just a few like a week or so ago, is 47%, which matches his all-time high in NBC News polling.
Yeah, although that is also less than it was before the tariff talk came into play. He has gone down.
Right. It has gone down, but he's still, I think a lot of people are feeling like, well, yeah, I don't like everything he's doing, but I certainly prefer it to the Democrats. And the polling that the Democrats have been getting, even their internal polling, has been really bad. There was that John Stewart said the other night, he said their approval is only 7 points ahead of where it turns red and goes into low power mode. I mean, they're just polling barely better than Brandon Johnson.
well, that hurts. But you're right. I have seen the same polling and, navel gazing by pundits who are saying, OK, what does the party need to do? And evidently what they were doing before, whatever that was, wasn't enough. And they need to find, A, new messengers and, B, a new message, which sort of gets us then to Chuck Schumer, the publisher of a weekly newsletter here in Chicago called the Picayune Sentinel. Is Eric Zorn, former Tribune columnist. He'll sign you up for free for his Substack newsletter if you just email ericzorn@gmail.com. The up and down of our last conversation, John, we are tiptoeing around vandalism against cars and protests against Tesla. I think the better question is, why are we being timid about opposing a Nazi? 630, however, said, I can only imagine the reaction the news would have if a right-wing group was vandalizing cars associated with some left-wing company. They would want severe penalties, but with Tesla vandalism, it's quote-unquote understandable. You haven't heard me or Eric say it's understandable. I understand the impulse by not liking somebody, including Elon Musk. Is it appropriate to vandalize the dealership or the car? 100% it is not. But evidently some people have made a different decision than that. Right, Eric?
Well, I mean, you and I were pretty strong in saying that we don't subscribe to vandalizing cars or dealerships or any kind of vandalism. I just don't think that that's been the answer to political problems in this country ever. And, you know, I'm one of those people who's, I think that people should not say protest outside of people's homes, for instance. That bothers me a great deal. When you say, oh, they're marching out in front of Lori Lightfoot's home, or they're marching in front of Rahm Emanuel's home. I think that those things should be off limits. I mean, I guess I'm still a believer in some forms of decorum when it comes to political differences.
But yeah, you're soft. No, somebody said the irony is that if you vandalize a Tesla, what are they going to do? They're going to take it to the Tesla dealership. They're going to get it repaired and give Tesla money. And that's not what you want to do if you want to hurt a company.
That's a good point.
Imagine that. So Chuck Schumer made the right decision or the wrong decision to push the spending bill through?
Well, Chuck Schumer voted with 10 Democrats, including Dick Durbin of Illinois in the Senate to let the budget pass and to give the Republicans the budget they wanted. And the alternative was to shut down the government. And I'm torn about this because I'm really disappointed in the direction the government's going right now, the way that Trump is leading the government. But I've also consistently opposed this idea of political parties, Democrats or Republicans, using the leverage they have to shut down the government over budgetary disputes. I don't think they should have that power. I don't think we should have a budget ceiling. That has always bothered me. And so consistency requires me to say that I support what they did. I support that they said, we're not going to shut the government down over our differences here. We're going to try to work them out in a normal fashion. And I think what they also saw was that the Republicans really wanted to have the government shut down and be able to blame it on the Democrats, blame the chaos on the Democrats, which is a risky political move. Because if you remember back in the 90s when Newt Gingrich worked to shut down the government, he paid a pretty heavy political price for that. So if you are seen as being responsible by voters as the party or the people who shut down the government, they're going to make you pay at the ballot box. So this may have been the canniest political move they have, which is to keep fighting the other fights, but not to fight this one.
I've wondered out loud, and I don't seem to get a lot of support for this idea, that perhaps the smart play was to give the Republicans the vote they wanted. And who knows, maybe the dust will settle and we'll all be glad that we took this painful pill and the tariffs and the budget and all of the draconian things they're doing will, in the long run, streamline the government. We'll be okay. If that happened, I happen to still have my job. I think I would be okay with that. And if it doesn't go well, if it is as disastrous as it feels or as some economists predict, then the Democrats can also handily point to the other side and say, well, this was their doing. We gave them everything they wanted. So
it's the worse, the better philosophy that political opponents often have, which is that if things get really bad, then the voters will turn on the party in power and vote for them. But again, I think that shutting down the government and the kind of disruption and chaos and pain that would cause is even greater than the kind of chaos, disruption and pain that's being caused right now by the Trump administration. So I think this was the right move, even though a lot of my friends on the left are beside themselves at Chuck Schumer. They want to get rid of Durbin. They want to get rid of Schumer and John Fetterman in Pennsylvania and Gary Peters in Michigan and Kirsten Gillibrand in New York and all these Democrats and Democrat-adjacent senators who did this. They're furious at them. But I don't think it would have been the smart move to shut the government down. And it's hard for me to argue that, because it sounds like you're approving what the Republicans are doing, but that's not really what was going on.
Well, if you heard one word of Chuck Schumer, you would know that he's not approving it. But like you said, he's just saying that this is the lesser of two evils. And if you do shut the government down, it does singularly give more power to the president. I wanted to talk about we'll have a longer conversation about this on the Mincing Rascals. We'll record that tomorrow. Give me your unpopular opinion about baseball right now.
My baseball season is too darn long. And it started this morning of all time. And it's still basically winter. And it's going to go until it's kind of winter again, probably in early November. So it's just too long. The games with 162 games in the regular season and all those playoff games, it's hard to get excited about baseball until much, much later in the year.
Time's up. That's Eric Zorn. You can read his stuff by emailing ericzorn@gmail.com. You'll subscribe to the Picayune Sentinel that way. Listen to the Mincing Rascals podcast. Longer conversations about more topics like this tomorrow. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, John. Talk to you soon.